Daniel Parpe. So what we said was how Daniel got into his position. We spoke about what he ate while he was in the position that he was in. And now we're really going to start talking about his ability to translate dreams. There's going to be some weird dreams that Nebuchadnezzar has, two of them specifically. And basically, we're going to talk about what he did with them. So, Bishnas Shtayim L'Malchus Nebuchadnezzar, in the second year of the king Nebuchadnezzar. Now, it looks over here, this not necessarily the second year altogether. According to one Maimer Chazal, this is the second year after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, after Churban Bayis. Right, so really, it's the 19th or 20th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. That's Others say they know it could have been a little bit earlier. The problem is that if Daniel was part of the original exile that was done by Jehoiachin all the way up earlier, that would have been in the 7th or 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So to say that Daniel was there by the 2nd year when he wasn't even exiled yet is weird. So it seems the most likely that it's referring to the 2nd year after the Churban Bayis. Chol Nebuchadnezzar Chalamos. So Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. Notice this over here, that there were dreams, not just one. Batit Ba'em Rucho. And he was troubled. He was upset about it. He couldn't, it was almost like a bell ringing in his head. Like, something's wrong here, but he couldn't tell exactly what it was. Ushnasa niyasa love. And his sleep was interrupted. He just knew that something was going on over here. Because, not only that, some say that he mamish, like, forgot the dreams completely. But he knew he had one, and he was shocked by it, and he didn't know what to do about it. Others say, no. He knew the dream, right? But he didn't know what the interpretation was, and he pretended not to know it to see if somebody was going to tell him the truth or make up something for it. So either way, regardless, it seems very, very strange, but what it is. So the king called out to his Khartoumim. The Khartoumim were the people who were able to speak to the dead by talking to bones themselves. That's the real necromancers, as they call them, right? The people who spoke to the dead, wise men who were able to figure these things out. Then he went to the astrologers. These astrologers possibly were physicians, you know, like actual doctors were able to figure things out, and sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't, but it was just a basic joke. The Machashvim means people that were actual magicians, sorcerers and things like that, who were able to interpret dreams according to the stars and what they saw up there. Lakazdim, these are referring to the people that were the actual Chaldeans who were able to foretell the future based on birth dates and things like that. Lahagin the Melech Lamosov. And he wanted them to tell the king what his dreams were. They came, they stood in front of the king. Now they thought that they were just like, okay, Nebuchadnezzar obviously knows the dream and he'll just translate it for us. But that's not what Nebuchadnezzar wanted. He said, the Melech said, Chalom Chalamti, number one, look what he says, I only dreamt one dream. Really, it was Chalomos. We just said that he had dreams. Now, it could be that he had the same dream many times. That's a possibility. But it seems that he specifically wanted to fool him. Atopem Ruchi, I feel upset about it. Ladas is a Chalom. I want to know what the dream is. Vaydabru Akazdim, Lamelech, Aramis. So the Chaldeans returned word back to the king in Aramaic. Malkala Omen Chayi. I think that's what they normally said when you, whatever it is, the king should live forever, right? Amar Chalma Labdach. Okay, so tell over your dream to your servants of Pishon Echavei. We'll try to search for the interpretation. We'll try to figure out what the interpretation is. Anamalkav, Amin Lakastio. So the king answered, and he said to the Chaldeans, Milsam Mini Yazda, I'll tell you honestly, the matter has escaped me. Hein lo sohudunani chalma upeshrei. If you do not tell me my dream and the interpretation thereof, hadomin tisabdun, right, then you are going to be destroyed, bloodied, really, and I am going to destroy your houses. Now, that wasn't very nice. The king can't remember his dream. He's expecting them not only to know the translation, but also what the dream was, right? He's so angry, he says, you must tell me exactly what it is, because there's something going on around here. And Helma Upishrei Tahachavon, right? The dream and its interpretation, you should be able to see. Matnon, I'm sorry. If you're able to tell me over the dream and its interpretation, Tahachavon Matnon Univizba Yekar Sagi, you will have tons of gifts and we'll give you lots of presents as well as great honor to compliment kind of mind that you'll accept from me. Lahain Chama Pishra Chavoni. It's like no room for in between. You tell me over the interpretation of the dream, then I'll give you lavish gifts. You don't tell it to me, you're going to die and your whole family is going to die. There's no like in between over here, right? So therefore, show it to me. So ano sinyonos. So they answered a second time. Amrin, and they said, Malka chalma yehamar. The king has to tell us the dream. Not doing his servants with pishra neachave, and then we'll be able to tell the meaning. Ani malka va'amrin min yitziv. So the king replied, and he said, Min yitziv. I'm telling you the truth. Emes v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayom v'yashor. Min yitziv. The truth. Yoda ana. Right. I know this time. Di dona antun. Right, so he's trying to say over here, this time you are doomed. You are now, it's your time. Zovnin, and it's going to be gone completely. Kol kovel d'chazesun. You got to tell me everything that you can. Diazdimini Milso, because everything's gone from me and I really don't have anything to tell you. I can't tell you anything. There's nothing I can do because everything I had up until now, it's all gone. Everything's gone. Dien Choma Lotu Danani. And if you do not tell me the dream, Chodi Daschon Umila Kidvo Ushchisa His Mantun, the Memor Kanbaadi Dona Ishtane. Right? There will be but one law from you. Chodi Daschon. Your law will be just one thing, meaning you're going to be killed. Right? Or Mila Kidva, if you lie to me, Ushchisa Is Mantinun, or you give me a corrupt word over here, the Memor Kanbaadi to say in front of me, Adi Dona Ishtane. Right, and until the time changes, right, I guess that means, right, until before the evening comes in, lahein chalma amar li, right, it's sort of like a dot, 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 then you'll be destroyed. Chalma yamar li, tell me the dream, in dot di pishrei tachavuni. And I'll tell you if I understand the meaning and if I agree with the meaning. Anu kazi yakadam alkav amrin. So the Chaldeans answered, you know, answered over here, and they said the following. They said, they said, Lo Isai Inish Al Yabeshta. There is not a single man on this planet, Dimilos Malka Yuchla Chavaya, that is able to tell over what the king's word is. Right? Kokaval Dikol Melech Rav Shalid. No great or powerful king has ever asked this. Mila Kidna, such a crazy thing. Lo She'el L'chol Chartum V'Ashaf V'Kasdi, of any of the necromancers or any of the Chaldeans or any of the astrologers or things like that. It's just too much. Milzi Di Malka She'el, the thing that the king is asking for, Yakira, it's too heavy for us. V'Acharon Lo Yisai V'Yachmina Kalde Malka. There is no other who can tell it in front of the king itself. Lahin Alohin, only God. Di Marvahon in Bistro Luisoi, right? Who obviously his dwelling and where he is obviously not here whatsoever. Maybe, right? Maybe if you had the Urim V'Tumim, if you had the Urim V'Tumim back, maybe you'd be able to tell the translation of this dream. Because the Kohen Gadol together with the Urim V'Tumim, maybe we'd be able to tell you.
Would
it dream.
Work on a non-Jew?
In theory, it'll be there. Now Rashi says Nebuchadnezzar immediately heard that and said, "You mean to tell me that the Kohen Gadol with the Urim V'Tumim would be able to tell me, but you couldn't, and you told me, you advised me to destroy the Beis HaMikdash?" Right? It's your fault then. So therefore, he blamed them and was ready to kill them. Kokovel Dana Malka, Benasva Katsa.
He got a
Nevuah
to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't need anybody to
tell him. I don't know if he got a Nevuah. He wanted to, and he did it. But Kokovel Dana Malka, Benas, the Katsa Segi, the king, therefore, was very, very angry, very much anger. And he wanted to destroy all the wise men of Babel. He said, all right, then all of you are going to die. You couldn't do it? Fine, you're all going to die. But Dosan Efkas, the law was brought out. The wise men were being slain. So they asked for Daniel and all of his friends because they were the Chachamim, right? They weren't going to be over here, but he did say the wise men are going to be destroyed, and that include them. Badin Daniel Hasiv. Then by the Beidin or whatever, Beidayin, then Daniel, Hesiv Eta Utaim, he ended up giving some Eitza, some advice, and a reason, the Arioch, Rav Tavachaya, to Arioch, the chief of the executioners, the Malka of the king, Dinefakla Katol, Hakim Abubu, who had gone out to slay all the wise men above. Anib Amari said back, the Arioch, Shalita Di Malka, the ruler of the king itself, why was it so like chutzpidik, like why so quick to judge this way from the king? Adayin Milsa, right? Adayin Milsa Hoda Arioch Le Daniel. So at that point, so the matter became known from Arioch to Daniel. Arioch told it over to Daniel and said, well, this is what happened. He had a dream last night. He's really upset about it. He wants to figure it out. Nobody will tell him. But Daniel, Olubami Malka. So Daniel then entered and asked that the king, Dizman Yinetin Le, that he should have some time with the king. Give me some time with the king. I want to speak to him about this. And he wanted to give over some type of translation to the king itself. Let me be able to say it to you. So then Daniel went home. He wanted to let Hanani Mishael Azariah know of the matter as well. Listen, this is what's going to be over here. So it's especially interesting. It's really interesting. Why would the chief executioner know this? Why would he have known why he's going to kill? Would you tell your chief executioner why you're telling him to kill somebody? Well, I don't think he would tell him. Why would you tell him? Who cares? So it sounds like Arioch is a little bit different. Arioch was definitely a chief executioner, but he also was in charge of some of the things in the kingdom. And maybe he said, that's why he said over here, Shalita di Malka. He was also the ruler of the king. Maybe there's another guy by the name of Arioch. The chief executioner was named Arioch, and this guy was also named Arioch. Or Arioch was the chief executioner, but he also was a chief advisor of the king itself. So you add that stuff. Either way, he wanted to let Hanani Mishael V'Azariah know. It makes sense that he wanted to let Hanani Mishael V'Azariah know because V'rachamin L'nivayim in Kadam Aloha, Shemaya. He asked them to daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Roza Dina on this secret. Di lo Yehov Dun, Daniel Vachavar, is that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed, him Sharchakim and Bubble together with the other men of Bubble. So he told them, he said, Daniel said, listen, it's possible, right, that we need a little bit more time. He said to Hananiah Mishael Azariah, let's daven. Let's make sure it all happens. It says, Adayin Daniel Bechazva Dililya Razagali. The secret was then revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Gali was revealed. Adayin Daniel Barich Lelashmai. At that point, Daniel blessed the name of heaven. He davened to Kadosh Baruch Hu and thanked Kadosh Baruch Hu for everything that happened over here. Now, Daniel apparently felt like he had to be secluded. He wanted to go home. So the Malbim says he went home in order to get the Holy Spirit upon him, to get everything upon him, so that he would actually figure it out, right, what's going to be. But he figured, first we got to daven all together, which is what they did. We'll daven all together to be able to get a schus. And then afterward, it was revealed over here.
Is that vision a nevuah, or is it...
So that's the problem. We claim that Daniel is not a Navi like Hananiah Mishael Azariah. And the reason why is because Hananiah Mishael Azariah had nevuahs that they said over to the people, right, that they were able to tell over to other people. We don't see those nevuos because Hananiah Mishael Azariah did not have actual Sfarim. We have Chagai Zechariah Malachi, but not Hananiah Mishael Azariah. But apparently that there was something there that they had to be able to say. Daniel, we have visions, and he tells it over in this way, but these are not like visions the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's something that he needed to know at that time. So was he actually Navi? I don't know. I can't tell you that. He definitely had secrets revealed to him. Medrash Daniel says that the reason why is because he risked his life to appear before Nebuchadnezzar. It's because he was willing to be Moser Nefesh to save Hananiah Mishael Azariah and himself, obviously. Therefore, he was Zocha to be able to get the interpretation of the dream, right? It could be, according to this Medrash, that Hananiah Mishael Azariah also saw the interpretation of the dream. But his vision was clear, and theirs was clouded. So they could somewhat see, but they couldn't see it clearly, right? In order to get the confidence in Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel had to go up there and say it, right? Because he was the one who saw it absolutely the best over here. So here we go. In Pasuk Kaf, it says, Ani Daniel spoke up, Omar, and he said, let the name of God be blessed, mean Oma Vad Oma forever and ever. And that, by the way, is Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarach, Lolam Ulaome Omaya. That is where we get it from. That is the basic translation of those lines. Because all wisdom and all strength is all his. He changes all the times, as Manaya, and all the seasons. Mehadi Malchin, right? I guess you could say he removes the kings. Umahake Malchin, he sets up the kings. And he gives wisdom to those who are wise, Mandal, Yodibina, an extra understanding to those who are Yodibina, which is 100% true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives wisdom not to the dumb. He gives it to the people who already need it and can go even further from it. Hugali Amikasa, he reveals all of the profound, all the secrets, Mastarta Yoda, and he knows Umistarasa and all the secrets. Yoda Mavakhashaycha, he knows what's in the darkness, and Ahori Meshrei. And yet, with him, right, is all the light. There is tremendous light dwelling within him wherever he goes over here. Chazal say a very interesting line over here regarding the Gemara in Chagiga. I don't remember if it's Yudalim Mabez. I think it's Yudalim Mabez, where it says that where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the seventh heaven, right, all the way up in Shemayim, there is a darkness that surrounds him, some type of an Anan Va'arafel that surrounds him. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, it says Nahora Ime Sharia. There's light with God. So how could there be Choshech with God if there's light with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Gemara answers, Ha'pavati Baroi, Ha'pavati Gavoi. It depends on which house. There's the inner houses, the inner sanctum of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, in which it's Nahori Yimei Shari, it's completely lit up. There's the outer sanctum, in which it's cloudy and murky, that even the Malachim don't know exactly where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. The Bati Baroi is surrounded by clouds and some type of confusion
this
for them not to know.
Why not?
The point is, the Gemara does ask that as a kasha, right? What it probably means is that clarity is only within the inner sanctum of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while on the outside, even the Malachim don't have a full clarity of what's going on in the world. That's the probable idea. Lachalo Avosi, to you, the God of my fathers, Mehodei Umeshabeach, I give thanks and I praise, right? And it says, Anodi Chachmasa, for you have given me the wisdom, Ugvorta, and the strength. You have to leave, you have given it over to me. An Hodatani Deveina Minach, right? And at this time, I guess you can say, you have let me know that which I've asked of you, Di Milos Malko Datana, because you told me the word of the king, what happened with the king itself. Kol Kvod Dana, right? Daniel Al Aryoch. After all this happened, Daniel then went in to Aryoch. Divine Malka, he was the appointee of the king itself. Lahivadu Lachakim Babu, he was in charge of destroying the king, the officers of Babu. It says, Azul, Vechain, so he went, right? Vechain Amarlein, here's what he said to him, Lechakim above all to obeyed, do not destroy the wise men above all, Ha'elni Kadamalka, bring me into the king himself, Opishul Malka Achavei, right? And I will tell him over, right, the translation to this dream itself. Adayin. So at that point, Aryoch Bis Bahala, Arioch very quickly. Han el le Daniel kodemalki. He brought Daniel into the king. Here's what he told him. We have found a man among the exiles, the Yehud of the Jews, the Pishon Lamalka Yoda, who is able to tell over the translation of the king to the king. So the king spoke up and he said over to Daniel, Dishme Belteshazzar, whose name was Belteshazzar. Remember, that's what his name was changed to in Parak Aleph. His name was Belteshazzar. Hayisach Kahelo Dasuni. Do you really have the ability, Kahelo, the power, to tell me over Chelma, the dream, the Chazes, that I saw, Upishre, and the translation? Like, he was shocked. I didn't really expect that, I'll be honest with you. I really thought that nobody would be able to do it. Do you really have the ability to do it? So Ani Daniel Kadamalka, the Daniel said in front of the king, the Amar, and he said, Raza di Malka Shoel, the secret that the king asked, Lo Chakimin, Ashvin, Khartumin, Guzrin, Yechon La Chavayel Malka. The wise men, the astrologers, right, the necromancers, and nor the demonologists, Guzrin, right over there, they're the person that's in charge of demons, they're not able to show it to the king. There's no way for them to know it whatsoever. Now, again, I translate as demonologist. Rashi says that there were Shem Min Baal Shadim. It's the person that's in charge of the Shadim themselves, so they believe whatever the Shadim tell them about the future. Rav Sadia Gaon says the name of a people, the people of Gizra. The people of Gizra were well known for their magics and whatever it is. Some say it refers to princes, people that make decrees, Guzrin, that make Gezeras over here. Or Medrash Daniel says it's people that read the stars. They are not able to tell it over to the king himself. But there is a God who art in heaven. Gali Rosen is able to reveal secrets. And he was able to tell Nebuchadnezzar what's going to be at the end of days. Your dream, right, as well as the visions on your head that you had while you were in bed, he gave it to you on purpose for you to know as it went through. Anta Malka Rayonach Amishkavach. You, O king. Your thoughts went upon you on your bed, Saliku, when you went into your bed itself. Madi Alehave Akhre Dino, and you saw what was going to be after all this. The Goli Raz Yehodach Madi Alehave, right? And basically, the reveal of secrets, right? The revealer of secrets, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let you know, Madi Alehave, what was going to be exactly, and that's that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu let you know something awesome. That's number one. And he says, Va'ana, but I, Lo B'chach Madi ICB. It's not because of the wisdom that I have, right? From all the living. It's not like I'm smarter than any other living person that I have Razadana, the secret Galilee that was revealed to me. Lahain, al divres di pishra, therefore, they say, right? Therefore, in order for the king to hear the interpretation of Lamalka, Yehodun, Rani Lavavcha Tinda. Lahain, it's only for this reason. Al divres di pishra Lamalka, in order for me to tell over, right? The interpretation of the king, Yodun, and let them know, and let you know the thoughts of your own heart. That's the only reason why I was told this over. So Daniel is humble, and he says over to the king, there is no other reason for me to know this other than for the king's honor, for the king to know exactly what's happening. Ant Malka Chozit Habayis, right? So you, king, you are watching. Va'alut Slim Chad Sagi. You also saw one huge idol. Tzalma, it was a huge idol.
He's telling him what his dream was.
Yes, correct. Decane with a base, Rav, that was very large. Vizive Yatir, right? And it says there was a very, very strange splendor to it. Koyun Lekavalach that stood opposite you, Vareve Dechil. And its appearance, it was frightening, very scary to behold. Such a creature, when you saw it, right? You were watching and you saw this thing right over here, you saw how awesome it was. Hutzalma Reshidi Dahav. Now, this image, right, this idol, had a head that was made of gold tub, of very, very fine gold. Chadu Yudroi, his chest and his arms, Dichsof, was made of silver. Moed Yachzid Dinachosh, and the stomach area and the legs were entirely made of copper. Shakoi Di Barzel, if you went down all the way until the calf, right, that was made of iron. Ragloi Minhein Di Barzel, right, and so too the feet itself were partly of iron, Aminon Dichsof, and they were partly of clay. So as you saw, everything going down, right, on the bottom was clay and iron, then it went up to iron, then the legs ended up being of what's it called, of what's called copper, and then afterward the chest and the arms were made of silver and the head was made of gold. What does it all mean? So again, we've got five. You've got gold, silver, copper, iron, and a mixture of iron and clay, dividing up the human body or the body itself in those five different parts. Jose Havis, you were watching this, Adihis Gezeres Evendi Lovidain. So you saw a stone was hewn, there were no hands involved. Umechos Litzalma. So this huge stone was brought out of nowhere, and it just flew out of the corner of your eye. You don't know who threw it over there. Umefas with Salma al Ragloi, and it nailed the tselem, struck the image right there on its feet. Diparzol v'chaso was made of iron and clay. The hadekes himon. And it crumbled them completely. So the feet were completely crushed, right? So this is going to be symbolic of what's going to happen. There's nothing there. Beidayin, and then what you saw, Daku kachada parzula chaspa nechosha kasva v'dehava. You saw the clay, the copper, right? The silver, the gold, the iron as well, all crumbled together. V'hava ka'ur min idre kayit. And they were like shaft. That's the ka'ur. They were like shaft from the end of the summer. That's very like brittle, and there's nothing really left. When it saw him on Rucha, they were carried off by the wind. There was no place found for them. And the stone that struck the image, Havas Latur, became Tur Rav, a huge mountain. And it filled up the entire land. So what do we have? Again, five different parts. Something hit the bottom of it. This huge rock came and knocked out the bottom. The whole thing crashed down to the ground. Everything else lifted up into the air like chaff and flew around to the entire world, but it found no place to go. Meanwhile, that rock that hit the entire idol stood there and became a massive mountain. Okay, Midrash Daniel says that, and I think this is kind of obvious, the five different parts are going to represent five gullies or five nations that are going to be dealt with. Daniel's going to talk about some of this, not all of it all together. He says that the stone is obviously a reference to Klal Yisrael Mashiach. The Mashiach is going to come. He is destined to rule over the entire earth, and that's that. So it's funny, because Midrash Daniel says that it could be that it's referencing the kingdom of Edom. But the kingdom Malchus Edom is going to take over the entire world. And that means that the kingdom of Edom was equal to all of the kingdoms that preceded it. Everything else that happened, no other kingdom will remain at the very, very end. The kingdom of Edom will remain until the end of the earth. It will become a huge mountain taking over the rest of the earth. There will be other nations, there will be other things, but Edom will rule the earth. That is the dream and its interpretation that I can recite, that I can tell over in front of the king itself. Ant Malka, you are the king. Melech Malchaya, the king of all kings. The Aloha Shemaya, Malchus, that's that. The God in heaven, Malchusa Chista Vesakva, he is giving you a strong, powerful vikara, an honorable kingdom, Yavloch, that he's given over to you. Okay, so obviously that is what we say. Antu Malka, Melech Malchaya. That we say in Karibon does come from this line, although it's funny because in this place it's referring to Nebuchadnezzar. We're obviously referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Lamed Ches, V'chol Didarim B'nei Anasha Cheves Barav Ov Shmaya, wherever people are living, the animals, as the animals of the field, and the birds.
Like, oh, this is perfect. I can use those words in real life.
That's strange. Rabbi Yisrael Nejara, who was the one who made Kari Bon Olam, was a very, very big tzaddik in Mekobol. So why he took this?
Daniel took it from the song to say it to Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, Chas Hashem, yeah. V'chol Didarim B'nei Anasha, wherever people, there are, Cheves Barav Ov Shmaya, the animals of the wild and the birds of the heavens, Yab Yadach, they're all, he has given you dominion over all of them. You are in charge of all of them. You are the ruler of them all. Antu Reisha Didahava. You, Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of them all, you are the golden head. In this statue, you are the golden head. Ubasoch Tekum Malka Achari. Right? Araminach. After you, there will get another kingdom that's going to be lower than you. Bavol is one, but there's going to be a lower kingdom. The lower kingdom is going to come after you, right? That lower kingdom is probably referring to Paras Umadai. Most probably that's what's going to be over here. And he gave him that honor, so whatever it is, right? You are the golden head. Afterward, there will be somebody that gets up, right? The kingdom above all will be completely gone. It could be, all right, that's going to be whatever. It's going to be Paras Umadai. Well, Malchut li saw achri dina chasha. There will be a third kingdom that comes afterward. It's going to be Kapar di Tishla B'chalara. That will also rule over the entire world, and that's going to be referring to Alexander the Great of Macedon. The Syrian Greeks will take over the world. You've got Bavel as your first. You got Paras and Madai as your second. You have Yavon, not really Greece. I don't like saying Greece, although they were Greeks.
Macedonia.
It's the Syrian Greeks that were there. Macedonia. The Macedonian Greeks, right, Alexander the Great. Malku Rivol. There will be a fourth one, Tefet Kifa Keparzla. It's going to be as hard as iron kol kovel di parzla, right? And that idea behind it, that they are able to, I guess you could say, as strong as iron, right? Mahadek v'chashel kola, just like iron, di parzla mahadek, it could be crushed, v'chashel kola, and it could flatten everything altogether, keparzla di mara'a, kola lane, right? It's going to shatter all of these things, tadik v'se roa. It will crumble and shatter altogether. What were you going to say?
I Well, Yavan that destroyed the base of Migdash was Titus, right? So,
the best Edom destroyed the second base of Migdash. Yavan never destroyed. You mean because of Chashmonaim?
Right, they just tried to, but they didn't succeed.
Right, they didn't completely succeed. No, and they, not Titus.
But
Titus
Israel was still...
Titus is yeah.
Edom, that's yeah. later. Okay.
Yeah. That's going to be something
Antiochus,
different.
Right. That's who
yeah,
was the king.
Antiochus was probably just a general of some sort. He was not a very
general?
Strong guy.
I thought he was a king of like...
He was not a Greek Caesar. That wasn't it.
Well, there
was a great one.
Caesar's
the whole Hanukkah story, right? Whatever it means, like the king in charge. The whole Greek story, what we have with Chashmonaim, it's really, it's difficult because there's a 100-year period over time in which the Greeks won. When did the Chashmonaim live? Whatever. I am not denying the story. It's 100% true. The kasha is when all these things happened and how they happened. The Yehuda story probably happened 60 years apart from everything else.
But that's not
strange,
considered a galus even.
No, it's not. Well, it is. It is a galus because we, even though we had the Beis Hamikdash, it was very, very different.
No, I mean, that's
before.
Not the Yavan that's being referred to here. This is a totally different Yavan.
No. This is the Alexander the Great Yavan.
So
Alexander the Great Yavan was a different
Yavan. Is that before or after?
That was before, but
or
not that far before.
Okay.
Alexander has four sons, right? And another four sons. Each one went to a different place and took over part of the world itself. It didn't last very long. Eventually, the Syrian Greeks became the most powerful over here. Now, I will tell you, the Ibn Ezra does not like this shot because we just said the four altogether, right? Who those four were altogether. He says, what about the Yishmaelim? Ibn Ezra was living in the times in the 1100s where the Yishma'elim were slowly but surely taking over the world. They were very, very powerful in the time.
It's not a contradiction.
Time. So he says, he claims that the third kingdom is Greece and Rome. He says they're very similar to one another in their temperaments and the different types of philosophies that they have, right? And the fourth kingdom is Yishmael. Most of the other Rishonim argue that that's not true, right? Rather, it's referring to the Roman Empire and that the Greeks and the Romans are the more powerful, as opposed to Yishmael. What about Yishmael? What happened to Yishmael? They say, Yishmael will never take over the world. They'll be powerful. They might have certain things, but they'll never be powerful enough to take over the world, and therefore they never count
and
as a superpower.
When you look at the world today, you always see that they're stunted, where
almost
everyone
so
else is, you know, way more advanced. Whatever advancements
there.
They have is everyone else's
that is correct.
That
now,
they're buying with
there is something weird going on here. Why is Rome known as Edom? Why were the Romans known as Edom? Edom lived down south, part of Eretz Yisrael. When did the Romans go up there? If anything, the land of Italy should have belonged to the people of Yafes. Yafes were the people that went up to Europe. So why was it considered like Rome?
Well,
so,
everything really got mixed up over the years, so it's really hard to say who's the Edomite today.
But certainly you'd have a majority of Yefes over anybody else. But the Abarbanel brings down this Medrash, and this is what I told, I don't know if you remember, when Binyamin asked this before, why is Edom always known as Rome, right? I quoted this Medrash over here.
It's a totally
Sbo, the grandson of Esav, right, ended up being exiled. The question is, what happened to him? He tried fighting at some point. He either got exiled by Paro or he escaped a jail and eventually made his way to Italy. All those stories of him defeating, there's like crazy midrash of him defeating like the Cyclops and whatever it is, like Homer and the stuff that's in the Odyssey and the Iliad.
No, I'm talking,
Sifo,
there's a Jewish version of Sifo. And what is
the story? Kabbalah, Seder Adoros, and Sefer Yashar bring it down, right? So he would have been this guy who ended up taking over this area of Rome itself. It seems that Sifo preceded Romulus, right? And Romulus built the walls around it. But the Abarbanel says that many of Rome's early rulers were called Idumeans. And Idumeans were referring to the people from a small kingdom of Idumea, which is Edom, which bordered the land of Israel itself. That Sfo kept calling his brothers to come in, and these Edomians, which are mentioned in history, are really the Edomites who introduced this concept of what eventually became Christianity in Rome. At first it was a Vodazara Mamish, but that's why Rome is considered Edom, because of what happened with Sfo, the grandson of Esav, Dichazisa Raglaya. Then when he saw the feet, that's Baasa, and the toes, interesting, by the way, because we never mentioned the toes before. It says, Minhein chasafti pachar. You saw that it was clay and a little bit of iron. Minhein parzel. Malchu peliga to have it. There will be a split kingdom altogether. That's what it says. Umin nitzbosa di parzela. In it will be the strength of iron, lahaveba, kokov di chazei, so of everything that you saw over here, parzla ma rabba chasutina, there will be iron together with a little bit of clay. There will be a strength of this divided kingdom of what's going to be at the very, very end.
Like
okay,
the UN
so,
or something?
I'm sorry? No, that could be. The toes might be that there are 10 rulers that took over Rome that will be the general idea of who they were altogether. Maybe it's 10 separate kingdoms that Edom was in charge of. Maybe there is something that has to do with the Yishma'elim themselves, and this is what the fifth one
you see today,
refers to.
The countries exist today with this sort of like No one's really trying to go to war with anyone except for some crazies, but in general, everyone's sort of trying to, you know.
I don't agree.
I mean, Israel, I mean, America and Russia, which are
the two strongest. There's wars all over the world. I don't understand.
No,
Africa.
I'm talking about major countries that are affecting, like, world powers.
I don't quite get it. There are tons of countries.
Okay, what I mean
that are momish at war all the time.
Okay, so you have, like, America and Russia, right?
Deal with Africa. 75% of Africa is fighting each other.
Yeah, but Africa is fighting each other. They're not world powers fighting other world powers.
Why do you have to deal with world powers? You just said that there's no wars.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about with the major powers, because the kingdoms that count are the ones that are in charge of the whole world, the ones who run the world. So, therefore, they're not going to be included.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the reality is Africa is not running the world.
Again, I'm not getting the point.
So, there are different powers that exist mm-hmm. that right now that are the world powers. He's referring to the clay and the iron and everything mixed up on the toes. That means later on all these kingdoms are going to be...
Hold on. So we have four kingdoms. Those are the four kingdoms that we mentioned that go all the way through.
Yeah.
The last thing is the feet, which were considered made out of two different things, right? They're supposed to be in both the iron and the clay and everything like that. So the Malbim says that the clay toes, right, when the iron toes, we're referring to either 10 kings that are going to take over Rome or 10 kingdoms that will be at the very, very end, or the Yishma'elim, in which you're going to have these monarchs or weak ones that go all the way through, that those are the 10. The 10 could be referring to anything. So those 10 are going to be the last ones right over there. It's because some of that kingdom is going to be very strong. Some of them are going to be broken completely. Similar to how we said by Alexander the Great that he split up his kingdom into four kingdoms when he died, right? Four different kingdoms in which each one of his sons took over. Some of them became very strong kingdoms, right? Right? I'm sorry? Right, his generals. Yeah, thank you. That's a good call. The four generals that were there, but the four chief people that were in charge, he divided them up. Some of them became successful and not. So too, this kingdom of Edom is going to be divided up, and some of them are going to be successful, some of them are going to be really strong, and some of them are going to be broken completely. And that's why those toes are not even really a kingdom. They're just a lot of different places, and each one, some of them will be successful, some of them will be broken, and that's that. So he says in Mem Gimel, Tichazayis Parzalama Arabachasavtina. When you saw that iron mixed with the clay itself, Misorvan Lahavon Bizra and Nasha, what you saw is that we're going to mix into the seed of men. The Lord of Dubkin Dinna, they're not going to cleave to one another in Dinna together with the others. Hakate Parzal Lomi Sarvan Kaspa, the same way that iron doesn't mix with clay. That these countries will never get along with each other. They'll never admit that either one is ruling over the other. And they're never going to intermarry. They're not going to deal with anybody out there. They're not going to deal with dress. They're not going to deal with customs. They're not going to do anything like that. There's going to be some that will have alliances, but there's not more than that. Ubiyom Mehon, right in the days, the Malchai Inun of those kings. At that point, when everybody is sort of doing their own thing, there's no ultimate power, there's no ultimate superpower. Yekim Elo Hashmayim Malchu Dila Omen, Lo Tizkabel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to set up a kingdom that's going to last forever, that will never be destroyed. Malchu Sela Amacharon Lo Tishtabik. That kingdom will never be left to another people. Tadik Visaseif. It will crumble and destroy Koli Machavasa, all the other kingdoms there. And that's the rock that comes out of nowhere, knocks it all down, crumbles everything. Tikum Maomaya. It will stand forever. Just as you saw that from the mountain a stone was taken out, was cut out, the lovi dayan, that was not done with hands itself, the hadekes parzel and echosha chaspa kaspa v'dahava, and then he saw it crumbled, all the iron and the copper and the clay and the silver and the gold. Ella Rav Haida Lamalka. The great God has let the king know, Mati Lahavi Akhare Duno, what will be in the very, very end. Yatsiv Chelma, it's a true dream. Mehem and Pishrei, and the interpretation that I just gave you is very, very reliable. That's what he told Nebuchadnezzar, and that's what it's going to be. He showed you. There's you, right? You are the ultimate in kingdoms. And then it's going to go down and down and down and down until finally everybody is sort of split off. There is no official kingdom. People do their own thing. Some of them will be strong. Some of them won't be. And at that point, Mashiach is going to come, destroy everything, and start over, and everything's going to be there. So this is a good thing in two ways. Number one, he was not telling Nebuchadnezzar that he was going to die. He's going to tell him that his kingdom, unfortunately, was going to eventually be usurped by somebody who is not going to be as great as him.
Yeah, but that's life. He knew that anyway.
Yeah, that's 100% true. And because of that, he did not get angry whatsoever. Number two, tell him what the rock was. The rock is Tsur Yisrael, Kumba Bez Ras Yisrael. You got that? The rock of Israel. Get up and save B'nai Yisrael. That's the rock that we talk about in Daniel. The reason why we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu the rock, so to speak, is because the rock that represents what Mashiach and Bnei Yisrael are going to be at the end of days as everything is absolutely destroyed. That's the concept of what he was trying to say over there. Now, obviously, Daniel couldn't tell him who the Malchios were because these Malchios were in the future. He couldn't know. There was no, I mean, I guess he could have known, but there was no way that it would make any sense for him to say what they were. All he could tell him is this is what it is, but this is why we say that, etc. He says, "Bidayin Malchin Nebuchadnezzar Nafalam Poi." Pasuk Mem Vav. At that point, the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face with Daniel Sagid. He bowed down to Daniel. He brought him, he said, he offered minachos, which are flower offerings, and libations. He said, give it over to Daniel. Let Daniel have these wine libations, let these flower offerings. This man is a god. He knew everything. How was he able to know that? The king replied to Daniel and he said, Min kshayt, it is absolutely true, de alochan hu elo alohim. Your God is the God of all gods. Mori malchin. Right, he is the master of the kings, but Gully Rosin, he reveals secrets. The Echelt Lemikla Rosadana, that you were able to reveal the secret. Now, time out. If this is before the king actually had destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, we said it happened in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, right? It happened in the second year of his reign, 17 years before he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. That is quite an about face. Quite an about face. Your king is number one, and then all of a sudden. But if you say that it's the other way around, that happened after he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, he had taken everything over, and then he got the dream, that makes sense. That he looked and he's like, I can't believe that I messed up. Adayin Malkul Daniel Rabbi. At that point, the king elevated Daniel. Matan Ravarvan Sagian Yahavle gave him many awesome gifts. Bahashlote Alko Medinas Bavel. He put him in charge of all the Medinas above of Rav Signin Al Kochakimi Bavel, as well as the chief prefect. In charge of all the Chachamim, above of Daniel, Ba'amin Malko, Mani Alavidita, and Daniel requested the king, and he appointed on the work, to Medina's Bavel, Shadrach, Meshach, Ba'avidnego. Said Daniel, you know what? I'd really like to have my workers work for me over here. Can I have my workers? And Nebuchadnezzar said, whoever you want. So he took Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And he grabbed those three, and he said, Patriots. Let's go, guys. Daniel, Bisra, Malka. And Daniel sat by the king's gate. And everything worked out really, really well, right? And that's that. So that's that. Now, there is a whole medrash that says that Daniel was mamish deified after this point. Deified, right? So he was deified, and that they treated him mamish as a god. But Daniel refused. According to one parish, he ran away at this point because he was worried about what Nebuchadnezzar was going to do to him. But it could be that he did call him a god, and then Nebuchadnezzar said, he is the god of all gods, but you are a god. And when Daniel heard he was a lowercase g god, then he was like, okay, I could be a lowercase g god. What were you going to say, David? Oh, no. All right, remember it. We're on Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel, Pasagali, Nebuchadnezzar, Malka, Avid, Slim, Didahav. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. Now, Chazal tell us that this was not necessarily Avodah Zarah, that he never meant it to be Avodah Zarah, that the message that he wanted to get down over here was more like, I have a statue of myself. We'll see, even though we made people bow down to it. Rumi Amin Shitin, it was 60 amos high. Now, we need to think about that for a second. This must have been absolutely unbelievable that he was able to make it. 60 amos high, that's 90 feet. 90 feet. How in the world did they have the power to do that? Now, I granted, yes, I know they made pyramids in Mitzrayim. I realize that they had power to do certain things over there. It just seems very, very strange that it was this tall. Psoye Amin Shis. It was 6 amas wide. Akime Bebikas Dura. He stood it up in the plain of Dura, the Medina's bubble, all the way in the Medina of bubble itself. And that's that. It could be that when Nebuchadnezzar heard this dream and understood that the rock of Israel was going to bring about the Bnei Yisrael and that Mashiach was going to come and save them all and that everything was going to be like that, it could be he said, you know what? I better make them sin now. Bnei Yisrael should go down. If I'm going down, I'm bringing down Bnei Yisrael with me. So he wanted them to all bow down and do something like that. It's very possible. Some say that he took the gold of Yerushalayim and he poured it around. It could have been that it was just misguided garbage. That he was like, well, wait, if they bowed down in the Beis Hamikdash to the Kruvim, why don't I make my own Kruvim? And I'll make them bow down to that. Why can't I do that?
Yeah. People say that it was just that this is the goal of the dream. Representative Bubba is trying to make a big...
100%. The Abarbanel says exactly that. The Abarbanel says that the gold of the dream was a reference to Bubba, so he made a golden image that would represent Bubba. This would be the ultimate image of Bubba itself. Symbolism to say that we are the ultimate over there, and that's that. Okay, again, it's a machlokas whether it was an actual deity or not. Was it an idol or not? He went to go gather the Achashtarpanaya, all the officers, Signaya Pachavoso, Argazoyora, Adargazoraya, help me out with this, all right? God Baraya, Disavraya, Tiftoye, the Chol Shultanim Medinaso, all these people, right, the great people, the King of Lameisi, Lechanukas Salma, they came over to the dedication of the Atzalam, the Hakim, the Nebuchadnezzar Malka, the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and they're putting out for them, Beidayan, his country, Achash Darpanaya. He gathered together all these officers, Ignaya Pachavoso, Adar Gazaraya, Gidov Raya, right? Disov Raya, Tiftoye, Huchotunim, Dinelsa, Lechanuka, Salma, the Hakim, the Nebuchadnezzar Malka, they all came, right? He invited them, they all came. The come the couple, Salma, the Hakim, the Nebuchadnezzar, right? And they went opposite, they stood opposite the image that Nebuchadnezzar had head. Among these people were Hanani, Mishova, Azariah, but not Daniel. Daniel was above all these people. Daniel did not have to be together with the rest of them. But Hanani, Mishova, Azariah did need to be there. So he called on an announcement out loud. L'chayin omrin to you. We are saying, Amamaya umaya vilushanaya. All people, nations, and languages. To everybody that's around here, everybody that's going to be over here. Biadono di tishmuun kol karna mashol karisa. The time when you hear the whistling horn, the horn that whistles. Kasrois sabcha pesantarin simponaya. Sumponya v'chozen izmara. There is going to be all these, again, I don't know. You'd have to translate all these things. They're different musical instruments. How does our school translate it over here? That's good. I have over here the clavichord, the whistling horn, the clavichord, the harp, the psaltery, the bagpipes, and all kinds of music. Good times, whatever it is, right? There's a random bagpipe in there. One Irish guy got inside there. Siskidun letzelim dahav, you're going to bow down to the tzelim dahav, the tzelim of gold. The Hakim Nebuchadnezzar Malka that Nebuchadnezzar made. When you hear that sound, all the music and everything crazy, you will bow down. Midilo Yipovi is good. Whoever does not fall and bow down, Boshaita Yisrame, at that time, right, when he set it all up, Lagaya Tunur Yikidite. I don't know if it's so weird. I don't know. The trouble over here is Boshaita Yisrame. It seems like at that time he will be thrown, Lagoa Tunur Yikidita, into a fire that will be burned. Kokobodana Be Zimna. Kiddush Shamin Kolamamaya, in view of this, at that time, right, when that was happening, at the time, Kiddush Shamin Kolamaya, when all the people heard Kol Karna Mashro Kisa, the whistling of the horn, Kaso, Sabcho, Pasnet, Terrain, Mecholzini, Zimra, you know, all the bagpipes. Neflin Kolamaya, Umay, Velishanaya, Sugdin, Lutzel, Dava, they all bow down to the golden image. The Hakim Nebuchadnezzar Makadin Nebuchadnezzar made. Kol Kvodana, at that time, Be Zimna, Krivu Guvran Kazdoyin. There were Chaldean men who came, Achlo Kartzeon de Yudaya, and they told Lashon Hara about the Jews. They came and they said in front of Nebuchadnezzar the king, Malkal Amin Chai, the king should live forever. Anto Malka Samta to aim the Kol Enesh Diyishma Kol Karna Meshur Kasaya Kasro Sabcha Pasantarin Siponya Chosin Izimra. You made a rule that anybody hears any of these bagpipes, Yipo Vyisko to tell him to have it, you got to bow down. To the tzelem dahava, mean die, mean dilu yipov yiskod, anybody who doesn't fall down and bow down. Yisra me legoatu nur yakirite, they'll be thrown into a fire. Yisei govran yudain, there are Jewish men, dimanis yason, that you have placed, right, that you have placed over here, alavidas medinas bavol, on the work of the medinas of bavol, self shadrach meshach labinagay. Govraya ilech lo samu alayach malka to aim le loach. These people did not take your advice to your God, Lopolchim. They did not bow down. They did not bow down to that actual image over there. What is interesting, if you notice over here, it says, they didn't bow down to your God, and to the Tzelem Dehava, they did not bow down either. Apparently, there are two things. He did not force everybody to bow down to the God. Right? So he wasn't mad about that. But the second one, he wanted them all to bow down to the image. So that does indicate that the image was not a God. Was never used as a god, it never meant to be a god, it was just there, and in theory, it could be treated as a god, but it wasn't. That might be why all the other Jews bow down. We all know that Avodah Zarah is one of the three things that you have to be willing to be Moser Nefesh for. So what's the kunz that Hanani, Mishael, Azariah were willing to give up their lives for? You have to die for it. That's what you have to do.
They were specifically told that they weren't going to get saved.
That might be true. Hold on. That might be true, but even so, every Jew should do this. I don't understand. Hanani, Mishael, Azariah did something that we're chayiv to do this. If this would happen to you right now, you would be chayiv to give up your life. So what's the big deal? The big deal is that they technically could have. I don't want to say this is a chumrah. It wasn't a chumrah. This is something which technically they could, but they felt it would be a massive chilul Hashem. Granted, we're not bowing down to the idol part, but to bow down to the tzelem, oh, we can't do that. They knew that something was wrong, and they refused to do it. They couldn't do it itself. So Beit Dayan at that time, Nebuchadnezzar bergaz v'chama, and Nebuchadnezzar got really angry. Right, all these men were then brought. They were brought in front of the king. So the king Nebuchadnezzar said to them, so he said, do I mean nothing? Right, that you don't worship my God. Well, it's selling to Havadi Akemis Losadin, and you didn't bow down to my idol. Ka'an Hain Esichon. Now behold, you are all going to Asidin, you are all in the future to be a Dana. At a certain time, all these things over here, right? It says, Zimra, and all these different types of music. Taplam Siskun Salmadi Abdes. I said that you have to bow down to the Tzalim that I made. Hain Lo Siskudu Bashaita Tisramun. And if you don't bow, then at that time you're going to be thrown the Goatu Nuri Yikidito. Manhu Alodi Shiz Vinuchum Yada. Who is the God that can save you from such a fiery furnace? How is that possible? So, Anu. Shadok Meshach Havad Nego, Amr Lamalka, Nebuchadnezzar. So they answered, Chanan Meshach Vazariah, and they said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, Lo Kashkin Anachna Aldina. We do not care to answer you, Piskam Lahasavusach, and give you any answer as to why we didn't do so. You know why we didn't do so. You know who we are. There's no reason for us to answer your question. Hein Isai Elana, right? Behold, there is our God, the Anachna Polchan that we worship. Yachil Lishesavusana. He definitely is able to save us, min Atu Nuri Yakirita, from your fire, min Idach Malki Yishesiv, as well as from the hand of the king. Whatever you decide to do, you want to throw us in a fire, he could save us. You want to be able to kill us, he could save us. I'm not saying he will, but he definitely can, and there's no problem whatsoever when it comes to this. Now, Behain Liyadiya Lihavilach Malka, and if not, if he doesn't save us, right, you should know, O king, Dilaloch Loisina Falchan, we will never worship your God. Uletzelim Dahava. Diz Hakim to Lonis God, we will never bow down to your idol. We don't even care if we die for it. We are not willing to bow down to your idol whatsoever. And Chanan Mishael Azariah, Mamish said it out loud. Now, I told you before, what happened to Daniel? Why is Daniel not involved over here? So again, one answer could be that just like the rest of Bnei Yisrael, Daniel was not Machmir and decided that he was going to bow down because it wasn't considered an idol. That's a possibility over here. Ibn Ezra Matudas David said they didn't mention Daniel, right, because they knew that Daniel was a god to Nebuchadnezzar, and it would make no sense to make Daniel the god worship another god. They already knew that Daniel wasn't going to have to bow down. They weren't worried about that whatsoever. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that as soon as this happened, he left Bavel. He found an excuse to get out of Bavel, and he went somewhere else. They didn't have to worry about it. Some say he went to Tiberia, right? Some say he went to go get seeds. Others said he went to Mitzrayim to go bring whatever. But he went at perfectly the right time, so he was not involved in this whatsoever. But certainly Daniel wouldn't have bowed down.
He left his friends hanging?
Michel was already taking care of themselves. What's he going to do? I don't understand what he could even have done.
Take him with.
He can't take every Jew.
No, those three. Every other Jew was fine bowing down.
Maybe he did. Maybe Chanan Mishael Azariah said, no, we're staying here. We're making a point. Maybe they did it.
Or maybe it's worth it for them to die.
Yeah, to see what's going to happen over here. Plus,
no,
if you test, they could die. They die. Nebuchadnezzar Yismili Chama. At that time, Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath. With Sleiman Po Yishtani. Right, the features of his face changed. Al Shadrach Meshach Vavin Agai. Anivam El Meze Latuna. Bring him out to the fire. Chad Shival Di Chazin Lamezia. And make it 7 times hotter than it was up until now. And he commanded certain men in his army, the strong men in his army, that they should tie up so that they should be thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, the question why he was going to be thrown in right now, what it's going to be over here, he commanded that they should bind them up. So it could be, right, that they were already ready to answer back. When he said, throw them into the fire that's 7 times hotter, they were already ready to say, you can do 7 times hotter and it won't matter to us. But immediately they were silent. Other people around the Nebuchadnezzar says, shut them up, get them out of here, bind them up, and don't get them involved whatsoever. That's the idea behind it. Also, since they said, and clearly said, that God has the power to save them from a fire, Nebuchadnezzar had an erroneous thought. He said, yeah, God could save them from a normal fire. There's no way God can save them from a miraculous fire. So therefore he ordered it for it to be hotter and hotter and hotter, thinking that this would be able to go and they'll never be able to get out of this. At that point the men were tied together in their cloaks, Patshein v'kavalosein, they were in their trousers, their robes, Lubushein, all of their clothing, and then they were thrown into the fire itself, fully dressed. Kokval dana, in spite of this, as soon as the king's word was urgently said, the the oven was heated excessively. These men who had brought up, right, a massive flame came and burned all of them up. The people who were tied up, all died by the hands of a flame. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Nefalago, Atu, Nur, Yekid, Mechatzpin, they fell into the burning furnace, all tied up. Right? Why did they fall in? Well, they couldn't be thrown. They were supposed to be thrown in by the people. The people just died. It's because they no longer had anybody there. Well, they couldn't move because they were all tied up completely, so they just literally fell into the flames. Fell into the flames as it was. And Dainu Khanetzer Malka Tva, all of a sudden King Nebuchadnezzar was shocked. Kumbis Bahalo. He got up in his shockness, in shock. Aniba Amar, he called out loud and he said, La Davroi, to all of his leaders, Halo Guvrin Tlasar Amin Lugonura. Mechatin, right? Didn't I just throw three people into the fire that were all tied up? Aniba Armin Lamalka, Yatsiva Malka. They said to the king, yeah, it's true. That's exactly what you just did. So it says, Aniba Amar, so he called out and he said, Ha'ana Khazi Guvrin Arba. I see four people. Sharia Mahalkam Begolnur, they're walking in the fire. The Chavalo Isai Bahon, I don't see any wound by them. The ropes were all burned off. That's the cool part. Urabedi Rivaya Domi Labaraloin, and the appearance of the fourth one looks like a malach. How did Nebuchadnezzar know what a malach was? Nebuchadnezzar was part of the kingdom of Sancheriv when Sancheriv came to Eretz Yisrael. And when the malach came at night, Gavriel, and destroyed the entire kingdom, the entire army, I should say, of Sancheriv, all 185,000 men, five people survived. Sancheriv, two of his sons, Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan. Nebuchadnezzar knows what the Malach looked like. He's seen Gabriel before. And now he sees Gabriel again. I remember this Gabriel, and it doesn't make any sense. Gabriel is the destructive angel. He destroys. How in the world is he able to save them over here? How is he able to save them? I cannot believe that he's the one who's able to come and be able to save them over here. So it says, Beidayin craved Nebuchadnezzar Lisra'a Tunura. So Nebuchadnezzar approached the gate of that fire Yekidus that was burning. Servants of God, Eloya of the Most High, Puku Vasu, step out and come. They walked out. They're like, oh, that was hot. Miskanshin Achashdarpanaya, Signaya, Pachavose, Badobri Malka, Chazun Lugvaraya Elach. All the leaders of the people saw these men. It's possible there weren't that many people there. It wasn't like Avraham Avinu with all the people around. But all the leaders, right? They all came out, and that's that. Ilech, Dilo Shlot Nura. All these people that the fire had not taken any effect. Begash Mahoin. And any other clothing. Sarishon Lois Charoch. The hair on their head was not burned. Sarbalein Lo Shinoi. Their coats were not moved. Reach Nur Lo Aldis Bone. The smell of fire was not even absorbed. They didn't even smell like they were thrown into a fire. Anin Nebuchadnezzar Omar. Brich Elohondi Shadrach Malsha Meshach Vavinago. Blessed is the God of Hanan Mishov Azariah. Tishlach Malachaya. Malachi, that he sent his Malach Veshev Ladoi, and he saved over his servants the Yisrachitzu Aloi, that he trusted in him. In other words, Be'ana Rachitz. That's the word Yisrachitzu. Umilas Malka Shaniv. Right? They deviated from the... They changed the word of the king, the Havas Geshmeon, and he saved their lives. They risked their lives. They gave over their lives so that they wouldn't have to bow down or prostrate. So any god except to their god itself. I mean, he seemed to aim. It's so funny, by the way, when they saw them, they probably like checked them all out. They're just like, there's got to be one hair that was burned off. And they didn't see anything that was there. Puzzle test. I mean, he seemed to aim. Right now, an order is going to be issued by me, Diko Amuma, that every single people or nation right over here, right? So it says, Belishan in any language, Diemar Shalei, that says something wrong, Alolon, Di Shadrach Meshav Bavanego, that says something wrong about the God of Hanan Meshav Azari, Hadomin Yisaved, he will be torn limb from limb. Baisin of Elishtave, his house will become a dung heap. Kokoval, this is because, Dilo Aisia Loa Acharon Di Kula Tzolakidna, because there is no other God who can save in this type of manner, and therefore he is awesome. Bedayan, at that point, Malka Hatzlach, Lashadrach, Meshach, Avanego, Bimidians Pavel, he made them very much Sliach, he made them very, very much prosperous in the land of Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar Malka Lacholam, Ramayu, Mai, Velushanaya, Di Darn, Vecholara, Shlom, Chon Yisgei, and then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to all the different peoples out there, right? And he said the following, all the people that were living on the earth, Shlom Chon Yisgei, he sent them a message that said, peace upon you, Asaya V'simaya, the signs and wonders, the Avarimi, Eloha Eloya, that the great God did to us, Shvar Kadumi Lachavayo, I must tell over the beauty of what I saw. Asui kamarav revoim. I have great seen many great signs. Simhoi kamasakipen. Very, very many strong things, mighty wonders. Malchutse malchusalam. His kingdom should last forever. Shall tanim dor v'dor. And his kingdom, his rulership should go for generation after generation. So now he has been convinced already from the dream of the tree. No, the dream of the statue. He's already praised Daniel. Now he praised Hanan, Mishael, Azariah. Now he's going to have a final dream. According to this Medrash, Rashi seems to say that this line over here was sent after Perek Dalet was finished. Or this is like the beginning. I don't know why it's not the beginning of Perek Dalet. Okay, we'll get back to it. We'll stop with that, guys, right now. We're on Perek Dalet.